At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Brought to you by Zadda Jewelers. KFNC and KFNC HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
Soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The U.S. with Dempsey!
For Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro de Madrid, gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Uribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, pleased to have the head coach of the Houston Dynamo, Tab Ramos, joining us now. It's all brought to you by Cactus Records. A big thank you to Cactus Records, who are now hosting the Burning Topics each week. Tab, thank you very much for joining us, as always.
Thank you for having me on. Fun.
All right, you know, I heard your post-game press conference. Just one more time, just give us a little synopsis of the last match, the 1-1 draw with LAFC.
Yeah, I mean, I thought it was a tough match. I thought it was definitely good progress for us as we, everybody obviously starting to play together a little bit better, and we're starting to increase the pace of the game. At the same time, I think, you know, in this case, we were playing a very good team that obviously is not easy for any team in the league. And I think, you know, not only did we do some things to be able to win the game, but also we disrupted the way they played, and that was important.
Is it as accelerated as you want after 3 games? Like, where's your gauge of progress every game? Would that have been a good jump forward for you, the LAFC game? It certainly seems so from the outside.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't, at this point we've played 3 games. We have 1 win and 1 tie and 1 loss. Obviously, we've had a difficult schedule so far, and it doesn't get easier over the next 7 games. But I don't think it's a good point for me to judge. I like where we are. I like how the players are starting to gel together. I think we've been, if anything, a little bit unfortunate to only have 4 points at this point. But hopefully it'll even out during the season. And I like how we're playing. I think we're a solid team and a very difficult out for any other team.
Tab Ramos joining us, head coach of the Houston Dynamo. Dynamo will be in action this weekend against FC Dallas. This is the first of the Copa Tejas matches, which we'll talk a little bit more about. But you have set the bar high. You've stayed there. You want to keep the bar high. I thought I saw you on the sideline at the end of the game looking a little frustrated you didn't win the game. Is that fair to say?
No question, because I think we had possibility to win the game. On top of it, I think in the last 5-10 minutes of the game with the substitutions that we made, you know, we thought we'd have a real good chance to catch LA on a counter, and we just didn't. But the opportunities were there. We had 2 or 3 2v2 opportunities in which if we made the right run at the right time, I mean, we were on there. And so I was a little disappointed that we didn't get the win, to be honest. I also was disappointed that I continue to think that their goal was offsides.
Yeah. It was tough to tell from where we were. But, I was very surprised that they didn't go look at VAR, to be honest with you, because that's generally a play. Everybody's going to the video assistant.
That surprised me, too, because last year I know that we scored a goal against Colorado last game of the season to go up 2-1, that it was, turned back because of VAR. You know, and the line, I mean, you could tell the line was like a millimeters, you know, whether we were off or not. And in this case, it wasn't even reviewed. You know, like I see the line, obviously on MLS.com, I see the line, but the line still tells me the player's offsides. So I don't know how, if I still see the line, I still see it offsides. It's hard to understand why it doesn't get reviewed. You know, having said that, I think we could have we could have won the game during the regulation time, regardless of that goal. And you know, and we have to keep working. The one good thing about it is that we could have done it and that we're right there. And so that, I think that's very encouraging, considering the team we played.
Now, I know we've had this conversation about the three separate periods where you can sub players on, and of course the use of five subs and how maybe this is changing games. It seems to me these subs that come on in the second half, they could be the difference in winning and losing games in 2021.
And they have to be, you know, for us, they have to be. You know, I think we have a couple guys off the bench that can make a difference, and I think they need to make a difference. And I think that the guys who are playing also, you know, it's normal. Everybody has to understand we have five substitutions and we're going to use them. So there's no need for saving yourself. You know, you got to go in there and you got to go as hard as you can for as long as you can. And when you're tired, somebody else comes on. You know, you know, the five substitutions give you the opportunity to have five attacking players who are not saving themselves throughout the game. They have to be given all they have because we can put someone else on.
Has that transcended to the players? Do they get that yet? I mean, because it is still kind of new, the whole five. Do they get it when they're going on that, look, your minutes now are as important as anyone's?
Yeah, I mean, I think they do. Obviously, the players, they're smart. I mean, it might be a little tough for them to adapt, especially the players who have been doing this for a long time, who know that, hey, you know, I need to pace myself at the right time. You know, I've done it before myself, so I can totally relate to that part of it. But the reality is, with five substitutions, the game's changed a little bit, and we need to take advantage of that.
Yeah, I remember people, and you know, when I was working in youth, you're teaching players to play 90 minutes, and you know how to conserve their energy and get through a game and make the right decisions to maybe slow the game out. This is different, right? It's even different for you as a coach.
It is different because sometimes you feel like, you know, you may be pulling out a player at different times that you feel like, hey, you know, if I keep him in longer, he might get to that point where he breaks through. But at the same time, if I put a fresher player, maybe with fresh legs against defenders who have been there, for the whole game, you know, that might make a bigger difference. So, you know, you're constantly juggling that part of it. Obviously, you know, when we make substitutions, you know, we discuss it as a staff. And if we feel like, hey, look, I think we have a better chance of putting fresh legs, that's what we go with. And we're at peace with that. So we just have to get used to it.
He's head coach Tab Ramos of the Houston Dynamo joining us here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Any updates on the center back position? Where do you think you're going to go with it in the future and the health of others?
Well, I feel like Miner is today he looked good in practice. You know, I think he needed about a week and a half to get over, you know, his situation. And I feel like Alejandro is at a good moment as well. And I feel like Boniek has been doing a great job there. So, you know, which makes things a lot more difficult. So, you know, we haven't decided yet what we're going to do this weekend, but I think it's nice to have options for the first time in the back.
You okay with actually Boniek Garcia jumped in front of people and cut some passes out, getting a little higher in midfield and leading counterattacks? I mean, those were some interesting moments in the game.
Yeah, and that's what I think we talked about last week when I mentioned about that would be a good game for Boniek, because LAFC is one of those teams that plays the ball on the ground. They try to hit the through balls through your back line in between your outside back and your center back. And Boniek is very good at reading the game. So we thought that it would be a great game for him. And I think he showed that. You know, there was only one time where we got caught on that ball in between. And I think it was because Adam misread it. It wasn't necessarily because Boniek misread it. So, you know, and that happens in the game because they're a great team. But we're really happy with what we got out of Boniek the last two games.
You seem consistent in the first three games. I mean, there hasn't been, you know, I've seen a lot of teams in MLS up and down. FC Dallas, your next opponent, maybe one of those. But you guys, in all three games, have seemed to have had a nice, consistent level, which I think you must be happy about.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, we're kind of learning who we are. But I think we know who we are. You know, when I look at Dallas, they've had different formations and different players in and out, and it's a little bit more difficult. You know, although Lucci's been there a long time, so he understands his team, you know, as well as anybody. But yeah, for us, it's been, I think we're starting to get to the point where we know what we get. And, you know, we still have to make some tweaks. And I like the fact that some guys have created a competition, you know, and are looking for minutes. and they're disappointed that they're not getting the minutes. And hopefully in practice, you know, this week they'll prove that, you know, they deserve to get in there, because, you know, at the end of the day, we play Saturday and Wednesday next week. So we have to be as fresh as possible for both.
Tab, how much of implementing this system is also getting the players to hold each other accountable? Because that's not an easy art to pull off as a head coach, but it's a necessary one, right?
I think it's always about the players. It's always about the players, you know, buying into what they're doing and into sacrificing for a successful team. And we need to do that. And I think I'm really happy that we have a full roster of players who understand that sacrificing for the team is the most important part. You know, there were a couple sequences in the last game where we were playing where we had both wingers all the way as outside backs at the same time. So we had a line of six across, and that's not how we want to play, but that's also what happens in games sometimes when you're holding on a team that has possession. If you see it, you know, you see it in the Champions League, you see it in a lot of European games. Sometimes team holding possession does a good job and they pin you back. But now I think the willingness is there to do whatever it takes for the team. And I think that's step number one when you're building a team.
Tab Ramos joining us. I know you've been pushing Tyler Pascher, and you were very high on him from the word go before a ball was even kicked here. That's why you acquired him. You know, what are some of the things now? I know you were pushing him to take people on. I saw some of that in the preseason games. What are some of the other things that you're kind of working on with him? Because he seems to be living up to it.
Yeah, I think we need him to do more. I think I think if everyone's been able to see the level of skill in which he receives at full speed and he can turn. So I think obviously Tyler can be a very good 1v1 player down the line, but he's also a player that can come inside and distribute and get assists. And we need him to connect a little bit better doing that.
Final third, obviously you got a great goal to tie the game, and you got a very quick super response. How about the final third? What else are you looking for heading into the Dallas game from your front runners?
Well, you know, the Dallas game is, again, it'll be a difficult one, because now we have to try to figure out whether they go to five in the back, which is the way they normally play us, or whether they go to like a 3-4-3, which is kind of what the last game they just won and did really well with. And they look good doing it. So obviously, you know, I'm sorry, they had the four in the back in the last game. So they could either have five or they could have four in the back. And that could make it, a different for us in terms of preparation. So we'll have to prepare for both.
Tab, listen, as always, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate all your time, and best of luck against FC Dallas this weekend.
All right. Thank you very much, Glenn.
Thanks, Tab. All right. We'll take a break here. More to come on Soccer Matters, ESPN 95.
Hi guys, I'm Hector Moreno. You're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis.
All right, the NCAA tournament is rolling on in North Carolina. And before we get to that with a special guest, just a reminder here as we roll on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Advantage BMW Midtown. I've leased, I bought from them in Midtown. The drive of a BMW like no other. Had a 5 Series and an X5 now. I took it 23 hours to New Jersey to see my parents last June. Advantage BMW. They're going to take you through sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Get yourself in a 3, a 5, a 7 Series. Advantage BMW. You go to AdvantageBMWHouston.com. But remember, it's Advantage BMW Midtown. They were the Conference USA champions. They have a record of 14-2-1 overall. They're number 22 in the nation. They have advanced and done something that has never been done before with Rice women's soccer, that is, get to the Sweet 16. They're breaking the mold right now under Coach Brian Lee, and he joins us right now. Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Happy to be here, and appreciate you having me on.
Well, let's talk. We do have a bit of a history with you in the SEC, with LSU, but you're now here in Houston. This is remarkable times for Rice Owl soccer here. Getting to the Sweet 16, you'll take on Virginia tomorrow night at 8 p.m. you know, you're really setting the bar higher as we go along here in this tournament.
Well, it's been a wonderful 24 months down on Maine, and couldn't be any happier. When we took the Rice job, we knew the top end was very high. We feel like it's we recruit the school can recruit the demographic that are the elite college women's soccer players. And this has happened much quicker than we thought it would, but we're just elated to be along for the ride.
It's a fifth trip to the NCAA tournament, but it's the first time since 2011 that a Conference USA team has gotten there. Is there a little bit of a pride representing Conference USA going into this tournament, playing ACC teams like Virginia tomorrow night?
There sure is. You know, I've been very impressed with the level of, especially coaching in Conference USA, coming over from the SEC. The work ethic of the coaches and the level of talent in the league has surprised me a little bit, to be honest. It's a higher level, and it really prepared us to get here and do well.
Sweet 16, it's tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Central Time. You will take on Virginia. Steve Swanson, longtime national team coach. I know you know him well. You've competed against him. A little bit of a thought on Virginia and their playing style.
Well, really an elite program. Steve Swanson's one of the legends of our game. Wonderful career with the youth national teams and with Virginia and Stanford before it. They're going to play a really attractive brand of soccer. It's going to be an enjoyable soccer game, not just to watch, for our kids to play in. Sometimes you can get in college soccer and things can be a little rough and tumble and the play can get very direct. But this would be a high quality game where, you know, we're going to have to break them down to have success. And they certainly have a roster chock full of youth national team kids who've played under Swanson before they got to Virginia. So we'll have our hands full.
Brian Lee in the Rice Owls. Tomorrow night we'll take on Virginia. They knocked off Furman 3-1 in that game. And then huge win over West Virginia University 1-0 on a Delaney Schultz penalty kick. I want to take you to Bella Kilgore in goal. Obviously, you guys are a very good collective defending team. You got a great goalkeeper, 0.57 goals against average for her. She takes free kicks. Tell us about her. She comes from the Challenge Soccer Club. You got a number of players who represent Challenge and the great youth scene here in Houston as well.
Oh, yeah. The youth scene all over Texas, Houston, and all the way up to Dallas is fantastic. And it'll continue to be a nice feeder for us moving forward. But Bella's been just a dream since we got here. She is the type of kid who trains every day. She's a real 365 player, very serious about her craft, gets better and better every three-month cycle. And so excited for her to be doing well. You know, we play in a three-back, and she plays high behind the line and really plays as a fourth defender, leads our team in interceptions every other game. So she's a little bit of a do-it-all when you add in the free kicks. She is very nice to have.
Brian, do you use her as a covering player based on the fact that she has those capabilities when you recruited her? I mean, does that then kind of get you playing maybe a different way just based on her ability and the type of game she plays?
Yeah, it's a real advantage. She's actually a mini me of our goalkeeper coach, Megan Kinneman, who played for me at LSU and used to take her penalties at LSU and just great with her feet. I coached Megan as an Olympic development player, and she used to scrimmage when she was 15, 16 with our field players, and she could have been playing for the region as a field player and did a little bit in her high school career. She's an old Albion and Challenge kid. Taking the free kicks was something we wanted to do when we had her, and playing behind the line was something we wanted to do a little more of when we had her. And when we got here, Bella, just such a spitting image of a young Megan Kinneman, and the goalkeeper coach, goalkeeper relationship is such a big one. And those two have really hit it off. And I think Megan sees a lot of Bella in herself.
Talking to Brian Lee, head coach of the Rice Owls, used to be the head man at LSU, has had an outstanding college coaching career. Owls are 22 in the nation now. This is big for the Houston area to get to the Sweet 16. By the way, Bella Kilgore in goal, 13-1-1, 10 shutouts. We mentioned a 0.57 goals against average. But you still got to score goals. You got 13 different goal scorers.
We do. And, you know, it's one of the things that's made this team so enjoyable is when we go forward, we're not relying on one big striker to bag goals. It's really been a nice balanced attack throughout the entire season. Our wingers are scoring goals. Our holding midfielders are scoring goals. Our goalkeeper scoring free kicks. And it's a nice balanced attack, and it's our younger kids. We've got freshmen pitching in, and we've had some big play from upperclassmen as well. So makes it enjoyable to coach, and I'm sure it makes us harder to scout.
Again, tomorrow night, it's 8 o'clock Central Time. Rice will be taking on Virginia, a very possession-based team under Steve Swanson. There are watch parties at the baseball stadium at Rice and then at the Phoenix on Westheimer. By the way, that was pretty amazing. That was your first penalty of the year against West Virginia University?
It was. And, you know, it's penalties are strange. Last year, I think we had five or six on the positive side of it. And that was the first one. And really, even the first near penalty. It's not like we had a bunch of shouts for penalties during the year as well. And we took it very well.
All right. The recruiting, obviously, the state of Texas. But, you know, when we see the success of Texas women's teams in the NCAA tournament, you could potentially get the winner of Georgetown and TCU. TCU is in. Texas A&M is in. It really bodes well for Texas soccer.
It sure does. I was texting with the A&M and TCU coaches just the other day from up here with, you know, we're not sure when the last time there were three Texas teams in the Sweet 16. And they're not just in the Sweet 16. TCU is the number one seed, and A&M's a consensus top 10 team. And even Virginia, our next opponent, three of their top five players are Texas kids. So, you know, it's kind of the Texas connections on all the teams across the Sweet 16 is fairly pervasive.
And do you get the sense, Brian, that locally, you know, the rivalry with U of H, HBU, you know, these things can be built up with all of you working together to really kind of spotlight and showcase women's soccer at the college level?
Yeah, sure hope so. Sam Houston made a nice run to their conference final. HBU's historically done very well, and Diego's doing a great job over at UH. You know, something that we've toyed around with, that we really want to get to the point, or at least I want us to get to the point, where we're doing non-conferences, a midweek Houston City League. I think that'd be fantastic, be fun for the area, fun for area fans to follow. So hopefully that's something maybe we can get together in the next couple of years.
Boy, that's a fantastic idea, bringing everybody together and playing midweek games. That's a great idea. Whatever I can do to help promote it, you let me know. Sweet 16, it's Rice taking on Virginia tomorrow night, 8 o'clock Central Time. It's 11 straight without a loss for Rice. They've knocked off Furman. They've beaten West Virginia University. Tomorrow night, another animal in Virginia under Steve Swanson. Brian, as always, thanks very much. Thanks for all the great contributions in the Houston soccer community. And we wish you and the ladies the best of luck tomorrow night against Virginia.
Well, we appreciate it, and thank you for all you do for the Houston soccer community. This is an awesome soccer city.
Well, I will be watching tomorrow night, so I'm looking forward to it. I already got it marked on my calendar. Thank you, Brian.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. That's Brian Lee. What a moment here for Rice women's soccer, the bar being set even higher again. Advantage BMW, I've leased. I bought from Advantage. I love the drive. It's like no other. The other thing I love at Advantage BMW is the customer service. It's second to none. They'll cover you sales, service, finance. It can be done so easy. Getting a 3, a 5, a 7 Series, getting an X5, whatever it is. Advantage BMW Midtown, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. And guess who's back? Jose Mourinho has taken the job at Roma. We'll take a break. More to come.
Right on, Josephine, right on.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5.
Hello, people. This is Alexi Lawless, and you are listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN.
All right, time now for the final segment of the night. It's brought to you by FM Kitchen and Bar, fmkitchenandbar.com. 1112 Shepherd Drive, right near Shepherd and Washington. Great craft cocktails over there. Great outdoor area combined with really, really good fresh food. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. They're now proud sponsors of Soccer Matters. I go over there a lot. I bring my dog there, tie her up to the picnic table, order some great food, maybe a great craft cocktail like a good gin and tonic. It is a spot for me to go to. It is my go-to. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. Head on over there. It's 1112 Shepherd Drive. Great outdoor patio vibes. Great place to watch games, including the upcoming Euros. And the staff, super friendly. It's FM Kitchen and Bar. Final segment of the night tonight. Well, he's one of the greatest in Major League Soccer history, in my opinion. Led the Houston Dynamo to two MLS Cups. Dwayne De Rosario, also best 11 in Major League Soccer, multiple All-Star, many Goals of the Year awards, all-time leading goal scorer for Canada. Very tough to top in Major League Soccer and Dynamo history. Dwayne De Rosario now has a book out. He joins me now.
Well, our next guest obviously is someone that everybody in Houston and around the country, both in the United States and Canada, know from Major League Soccer. He has just written a book with Brendan Dunlop. He is Dwayne De Rosario. The name of the book, D-Ro, My Life. And Dwayne joins us now. Dwayne, thanks very much for coming on the show.
Oh, man, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
All right, the first thing I'm going to say here is you got to do a deep dive when you're doing a book like this that's personal. What was this like doing this book from an emotional standpoint? Because you do talk a lot about your parents, your family, your upbringing, and it's some pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, definitely was very therapeutic, was emotional, you know, and I didn't realize that, you know, when I was writing this book or telling my story, you know, shout out to Brendan Dunlop, who did a good job of capturing what I was saying and put it into words so eloquently. But, you know, while I'm telling my story, I didn't realize I was holding on to so many things, you know, for so long. And while I was talking, I know countless of times we just had to stop and it's like, I need like a couple of minutes or I need to revisit this conversation another day. So it definitely put me in a very vulnerable position. And I just wanted to tell my story authentically, like how it unfolded. And and unapologetic. I did it honest, my truth. I told my life with my truth, and I didn't want him to shelter away from what I was trying to have the reader capture and envision. And I believe, well, actually I shouldn't say I believe, I know there's other young aspiring athletes or individuals that are going through very similar life-altering or life-changing experience. And if they could read the book and say, wow, that happened and he still was able to overcome, or this happened, he still was able to overcome, then definitely I could too. Then for sure that's the whole, how can I say, that's the whole, you know, purpose of the book is to really inspire, motivate, but also be honest.
Well, what makes it interesting for me is, look, we all know Dwayne De Rosario, the MLS Cup winner. We know the goals of the year, the All-Stars, the best 11, the Canada's greatest goal scorer. We know all this. Mm-hmm. But when it gets personal like this, this brings it to another level. And then that makes you appreciate all the things you achieved both on and off the field. I want you to talk about Scarborough in Canada, because your parents moved from Guyana. Yep. They come to an area that's a pretty rough area, and you describe this in the book. Talk a little bit about the upbringing and how you made the choices you made.
Yeah, I mean, you know, coming to Toronto as an immigrant from the West Indies around that time, you're in two areas. Either you're in Jane and Finch or you're in Scarborough. If you didn't have the financial support, and obviously we didn't have the financial support, we landed in Scarborough, very much like New York, Brooklyn, very, you know, diverse, multicultural, and the kids in my community, you know, that grew up was all different type of ethnicities, very heavily West Indian populated, Guyanese influenced, especially around Kenny and Eglinton, which at one point they used to call it All Boys Town, which is a community in Georgetown in Guyana. So they called it All Boys Town because so many Guyanese migrated in that area. My grandma's down the street. My uncle's a couple buildings down. My other uncle is a couple buildings down. So everybody was like in one melting pot. So with that comes, you know, a lot of adversity, a lot of challenges, you know, a lot of new world experiences that my uncles and my dad was having moving to Toronto. And, you know, we were just young kids growing up living in the community, running around with the rest of the kids, getting into trouble with the rest of the kids, playing tag, you know. And then, of course, as you get older, those idle times become a little bit more, life-altering, bigger decisions being made. How do you make money? How can we make money early? You start to see things a little differently. Certain things start to become a little more clearer. And then, of course, my parents split when I was five, and that was devastating, having to deal with that. And then we ended up moving in with my aunt, who again lived in another community, a metro housing community. And you know, just the struggles that come with that in those environments. There's anger. There's poverty. There's you know, drug abuse. There's physical abuse. There's frustrations. There's but through all that, there's still strong community. People look out for each other, right? People in those communities look out for each other. You know, there's a great sense of pride amongst those communities where there's some hardworking people that work 3-4 jobs, you know. But of course, the parents that work 3-4 jobs in a single parent household, that means, you know, you probably come in about 8-9 o'clock at night. That means as a young child growing up, you finish school at 3:30. You have a lot of time on your hands with no supervision. And that's when things start to get, you know, tough on you know, your decision, your ego. You know, do I hang with my friends or do I go do my homework? Well, how many 12, 11, 9, 10-year-olds are going to stay and say, okay, I'm going to do work, right? There's a few, but majority of them are going to go hang out with their friends and get into what everybody else is getting into, no different than we were doing. And so that was the Scarborough experience.
He's Dwayne De Rosario. The book is Dero, My Life. Dwayne, where can it be purchased, by the way? I'm sure like on Amazon or?
You could get it on most major bookstores, Amazon, Indigo, okay. Barnes & Nobles. You can get it through my website, DwayneDeRosario.com.
Get it there. That's the best place to go, DwayneDeRosario.com, because you won't forget
DwayneDeRosario.
It. you won't forget it. Dero, My Life. You did write in the book that you said those who have strong family support make it out of those situations. And what I really loved about this was there's some incredible messaging in here, the ups and downs of your career in life. And what most people gravitate to is, you know, all the successes you've had, right? You had a situation that was pretty mind-blowing in this book that says, you know, you were forced as a young child to choose either your father or your mother. This had to be an incredibly difficult situation, probably one you can never shake.
Yeah, and well, that was one of those experiences that when I was expressing to the writer, Brendan Dunlap, those are one of those experiences where it probably took a few months just to get that one piece out of me. And it was a difficult decision to make at a young age. You know, my parents didn't really want to go the court route and all that in that direction. So they said, "Hey, let the kids decide who they want to be with, right?" And that's how it kind of unfolded. And you know, I watched my older brothers choose my dad, and I followed suit. And it was difficult on my mom. And even while I was telling the story, you know, it made me appreciate my mother more and what she went through, you know, and what she had to deal with, you know, because really my father, you know, God rest his soul, he was at fault, you know. He wasn't, but he was with the relationship. The reason why I say he wasn't because, you know, he's coming to a new world, a new life. You know, he only knew one way of living. My dad lived a very tough upbringing. He was sent to Jamaica to try to get straightened out. That didn't work. He was sent to Trinidad. They put him in a convent there to try to straighten him out. That definitely didn't work. And then when he came back to Guyana, man said, "Listen, you know what? You're going to end up dead or something, or something's going to happen. So let's go to Canada, the Great White North. Let's go there and try to make the best." There's job opportunities opening up, and that's what happened. So I could just imagine coming over there, and you know, it's a different world here, right, compared to what it was there. But nonetheless, not to get away from your question, it was a difficult choice for not only myself, but for my brothers to make. And after that, they even went to court and tried to handle it there. But at that time, we already kind of made up our mind as three young men. And that, like I said, it must have been very difficult for my mom to have to stomach that and deal with that.
Was your mom's name Carol Ann?
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure that we gave your mom and Dwayne's father's name was John Anthony de Rosario. And yeah. He takes a deep dive into the book about the family as well in this. I'll shift it a little bit now to because I don't want to reveal everything in the book in a kind of a way, you know, we want to tease people here with some really great stuff. And this is not just about the soccer career, although that's a big part of it. All right. You were told you were too small as a soccer player. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I was always a smaller kid, you know, for my age growing up. I was trying out with the provincial program. They were about to go to under 17 Youth World Cup. They were selecting the team, and I went, I made the last tryouts, and I thought felt very good. I felt very confident that I was going to make the team. And, you know, after the week of training, the coach at the time, you know, they have their assessment with all the players, no different than my own. And we went in to have the meeting with the coach, and he said, you know, he thought I was a fantastic player, had all the abilities, but being the fact that the way Canadians played at that time, a very kick and run style, you know, they wanted the big players, the players that could, you know, physically fight and compete. And he thought I was too small, even though he felt like I had all the skill in the world. And, you know, I was very disappointed at that time in my career because, you know, I put a lot of energy and effort into making that team. And of course, who doesn't want to represent your country at the Youth World Cup at 15, 16, right? I was one of the younger guys on the team. So my dad was extremely mad, which I get because, you know, it was a lot of commitment on his part because a lot of these provincial programs and national team pools were done out far away from our community. So we had to drive like weekends far, an hour, 2 hours away to get to these trainings, you know, and back again all the way home early mornings. So I think it was more so the reasoning why they didn't select me, you know, to say I was good and had ability, but I was too small. But instead of me saying, you know what, I'm done with this. I don't want to, you know, these guys don't know what you're doing. These guys don't get me. It's the system just fighting against kids like me. I use that and I turn to my dad and go, I want to try out again next year. And that's what I did. So I went to the gym and I got myself as strong as I could. And I tried to give them a product that they couldn't refuse. And thankfully it worked out.
And you're here to tell a story that, believe it or not, Dwayne De Rosario was told he was too small as a soccer player, which we all know that is an old theory. Dwayne De Rosario joining us. The book is called My Life. It is D-Ro. D-Ro, you wanted to add something to that.
No, I said, we can arguably say one of the best players of all time, or at least in this generation, is one of the smallest guys on the field. And that's Messi, right?
Yeah, no question about it. You never look small on the field to me, though. I can assure you that. It's another part of the book that we want to talk about. And I do want to go here into the Houston time period in your career a little bit here, coming here with the San Jose Earthquakes and the way you blossomed in Major League Soccer and just some of the – I mean, you have some of the most indelible moments, in my opinion, clearly in the history of this league when it comes to – just moments as well as consistency. Just tell me about the 2 years in Houston and the cups and then how you left, because I'm still not sure that people down here understand how you left. There was a lot of confusion. Why are we losing Dwayne De Rosario? And it was positioned in different ways. And I'm not sure the public ever really got it from you how it really happened.
Well, I would tell you what, it wasn't an easy decision at all. Again, a lot of people don't know in 2007, that same lady that I mentioned that raised me, my parents were going through, those difficult times. She raised me. She took care of me and my brothers. She actually was passing that in 2007 during that championship. And that's why when I scored that goal, I was so emotional because, you know, I just, feeling a little emotional now telling you. But that's just the connection and bond and the amount of respect.
What was her name, Dwayne? We need to say
Leontine. Right? Leontine D'Souza. So we call her Aunt Lee. So she was sick. She was, I'll never forget, we were preparing for the semifinals against, I think it was Kansas City, going into the finals. I can't remember who we were playing at home. And my brother called me crying. He was really emotional. He's telling me, you know, Aunt, like she's losing her mind. I go, what are you talking about? Like, he goes, because she had a great relationship with me, right? So he figured if anyone could talk to her and maybe something might spark something, would be me. So when I got on the phone, I remember I was getting ready for training, and I was talking to her, and I could clearly see that something just was off completely. Like, she kept repeating herself. She kept calling me my other brother's name. She called me my dad's name, and I was really nervous. I was really scared. So, I went back to Toronto's, you know, saw her for a bit, and then realized that, you know, she probably doesn't have a lot of time left. And that was the 2007 road to that MLS Cup. So she passed away, and then of course seeing 2007? Yeah, the second MLS Cup.
Yep, DC, you scored the great header, the flash header from Brad.
And that was the first season with Toronto FC got launched, right? Inaugural season. So seeing all that unfolding, and it was just, you know, I've always wanted to give back to my hometown and you know, create something special for them. And, you know, 2008, we had a good year. We had a decent year, but not the Houston Dynamo year that we normally had. And, you know, 2007, after that goal, I asked the organization to see if they would, you know, give me a better contract, because I wanted to stay, really. I wanted to stay, and I wanted them to support me. But at that time, they weren't willing to make that step forward. And at the same time, TFC reached out to me and was like, "Diro, you know what? We really would awesome for you to come home and to welcome you back." I go, "Well, it's tough because, you know, back-to-back championships, and, you know, 2008 was more of like, you know, to go three times is kind of
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. That was the rare shot at going three in a row, and I think there's still people that believe if you didn't leave, there would have been a third straight title.
Yeah, and it was a really tough decision, but I think with everything and encompassing everything I mentioned, where I was going through with my family and personally and trying to negotiate, all of it came to a head where I just had to make a decision that I felt that was best for not only myself, but for my family and what I really wanted. You know, I really wanted to go back and help build soccer because every time I played, every time I stepped on the field, it was a challenge for me being Canadian, right? Being Toronto. I just felt, even MLS, I just felt like I never got the respect that I deserved because I was Canadian. And I get it because I'm hard to market, but the numbers were speaking for itself. But, you know, I'm now watching, you know, all these other guys, Central America, South Americans coming in and making good money. And I'm like, man, they haven't even proved themselves in the league yet, you know? And here I am backed every year, putting up numbers and doing what I thought was arguably good enough to get that kind of compensation. It just always had to be a constant battle, a constant fight behind closed doors. And, you know, it was tough too, because me and Dominic had a great relationship. Me and the coach, Bruce Morgan, I mean, the staff, everybody, you know, the coaching staff, we all had a fantastic relationship, and it was tough to leave. And the rest is in the book.
All right, that does it for Soccer Matters here tonight. Another version in the books, and we thank you for listening in. Don't forget the podcast at ESPN975.com. And don't forget our presenting sponsors, John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. They're bringing you soccer on the airwaves. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. You get in an accident, car, boat, motorcycle. You drive an 18-wheeler. You work in a refinery. Call the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. They will handle your case. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends, and they will give you the representation you need. Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Again, 713-322-HURT. They are our presenting sponsors. Also, big shout out to Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway in the Marquee Entertainment Center. 18 TVs, big screen, Houston Liverpool supporters group goes out there. We will be doing live shows there during the Euros on every Tuesday night, giving away Dynamo jerseys, Liverpool jerseys, lots of giveaways. We'll be setting you up for the Euros as well out there. We'll have a lot of guests also. So get ready for that. Our good friends Peter and Dave out at Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway. It's glendavissoccer.com, Twitter, Glenn Davis Soc, Facebook, Soccer Matters, Instagram, Glenn Davis Soc. Until next week, on behalf of the firm and Aaron Raybould, I'm Glenn Davis. Thanks for tuning in tonight.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.